Welcome back to another episode of The Blueprint. I'm your host, Yannick, and for the last few weeks, we've been talking about investment. I hope you've listened and have already implemented some of these strategies, especially with the market rising right now. Today, we're shifting gears into the exciting world of technology. If you're like me, you might be wondering, with emerging trends like artificial intelligence, what does that mean for our career and businesses? As someone who has spent over 15 years in the IT space, dibbling and dabbling in all things IT, I'm eager to explore this with you. But I'm not doing it alone. I got my two good friends here with me today. Dakim, who will probably bring all the giggles, but behind the fun is someone who brings over 20 years experience in the IT analytics space. And Mark, the HR expert, who has been employed in the HR analytics for over 20 years with a heavy focus on technology. So, let's dive in and get started. So, why IT and how did you get started in IT?
I'll jump in. I started actually a bachelor's degree in psychology and then moved into a master's degree in HR. And so my career within HR has always been utilizing technology in one way, shape, or form. And then as I started kind of having the aspiration to develop myself as a professional, I started understanding the use of technology in the role. So understanding HR systems, but also understanding what is now like AI and automation and how that can supplement what I want to do. The more I know the tech pieces of it, the higher my earning potential is, the more efficient and effective I am when it comes to work.
Nice. Okay.
Oh, that's beautiful. I don't know if I can top that. I'm going to try that. First, let me use my my mock voice. No, I've been interested in technology for a lot of years. Actually, when I went to college many moons ago, I went to school for computer science.
Okay.
So I actually kind of understood what it could do and where it could take us. And this is pre-Google, pre-Amazon. Shoot, this was pre-internet, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know I'm old. I guess my first big break into the industry was in 99. A company I used to work with, I actually had a manager, great manager. He was my mentor, and he kind of suggested that I move heavy into the technology space. So one of the first big projects I worked on was actually building out IVR systems for Y2K way back then when everyone was going crazy, you know. So that kind of was my start in it, and just pretty much fell in love from there, and through there just kind of navigated in different spaces, from IT to data to wireless to networking, and just kind of landed on data.
Oh, very good.
On the data side, we'll say, data and analytics.
So I actually studied computer science as well, but I haven't really worked in the computer science space. How I got into IT, it's a story in itself, but it's because I actually liked a guy in the IT department and I wanted to get close to him. And so I had a lot of questions about IT and what he was doing, and he directed me to the University of Technology, and literally, that's how I got started in IT, and I've never looked back since. So each one of us, as you can hear, has different path to how we got into IT. You can also start IT, but we're going to dive into what that will look like for you as a beginner. And as we speak about beginner, what are some of the key technology or fields in IT that are exciting for beginners, are those looking to make a career switch in technology?
I would say one thing that you should identify is how technical you want to be when it comes to it, or what type of IT person you want to be. I think a lot of people start with IT and they think that you have to start with coding. Whereas one of the things that I do is career coaching. And so I help people who are less technical get into IT. So you may not know about coding, but you may know how to use a system. And I tell people, if you know how to use LinkedIn, if you know how to use IG, Instagram, TikTok, you can start learning how to use a system. And whether you're creating it on the user end, so just the visual parts, that you can start understanding how to move things around. And that can happen in as soon as a month if you are really diligent about it. And then you just have to kind of start preparing yourself for that. Also, you can also go in on the policy side of it. So if you don't want anything to do with the numbers and technology, you can start looking into tech as a policy person, and you can look into governance, risk, and compliance. And so understanding the policies and the rules that govern technology can allow you to kind of take it into different directions, and you'll still be, air quote, a tech person, and you'll get paid like a tech person, but you'll be kind of working with the administrative portion. And before I let that go, I'll just say a few really hot areas. It's mm-hmm. cloud computing. Yeah. So if you can get into cloud computing, you can get in from an administrative side. Again, you can get in from a policy side, but you can also dive into the real technical meat and potatoes of it. Also, data and analytics, that can take you up through the moon, especially once you get to big data. And then this AI automation is the wave. It's one of the sexier parts that you hear about often. And if you can kind of get your hands in there, there's a lot of money attached to those few areas right now. And there's a big push for your information, for your data, for the cloud, and people working in a very remote way.
I like that. Do you want to add anything to that, Akim?
Yeah, sure. But before we go, so did you want to date this dude that just got you into it?
We're not going back there.
Right. We're going to slide that under the cover and think we're just going to keep talking about it.
That's the reason. And don't edit this out either. I knew that IT made a lot of money. I was trying to impress this girl. We got the reverse story. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. The same thing. You know, I was talking about my mentor, but it was a nice looking woman over there. I was like, no.
Yes. But no, I did want to date that guy. I did end up getting the guy, and I also got a career. So a win-win situation, Deccan.
All right. Perfect. And to answer your question, a newbie getting into the field, what I find, especially when I talk to a lot of people, they instantly look for what's hot and sexy at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And what I always suggest to people is look at the career trajectory of that particular role, because what's hot and sexy today, as fast as technology is moving, may not be the wave in the next year or two. You know, and a lot of times people pick a career and it becomes a dead end career for them, even in the technology space. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So somebody getting in, that would be my suggestion. Just kind of look at what it is you want to do. And outside of money, look at what it is you want to do. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Mark, like, heck nah, give me the bread. But, you know, and I say that because, you know, again, if you do what you love and understand your skill set, then you'll be more successful. Because I see people that get into analytics because they think they're going to make a lot of money, but then they're like, I don't like sitting here 10, 11 hours a day looking at data all day. I don't like, you know what I'm saying, trying to create stories. So look at where your strengths are as well.
Yeah.
And allow that to guide you, including look at whatever career path you're trying to take. You want to go on where that's going to be in the next 4 or 5 years.
Do you think that a person who has been working, let's say, for example, accounting for a very long time can make that transition into the IT field?
So to me, and I'm going to speak from being an older person, we'll say seasoned.
Yes.
Because, you know, if you think of someone in that space for, you know, doing a particular role for 20, 25 years, they tend to get stuck and not be able to see anything outside of that. So to answer your question, yes, they can move into technology, and it's all about looking at how your skills are transferable. If you've been doing accounting, then you understand numbers. You understand how to create a story with numbers. So that's a good space to go into as far as analytics, as far as building visualizations and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? Because pretty much that's a lot of the data side, being able to build those visuals and being able to tell a story. And that's the same thing with accounting, being able to tell a story. The company's health, you know, I mean, do a temperature check on the company from, accounting perspective.
Yeah,
I would add on to that. I think that was a great point. I would add on to that. Sometimes you can get very comfortable in your job. And what the pandemic and a little post-pandemic has shown us is that, you know, a lot of companies are trying to make themselves more lean. A lot of companies are wanting to automate a lot of things. And one of the reasons that I push people and encourage people to add on technology into whatever you're doing is because you are more likely to be able to pivot. And sometimes you need to make a very strong pivot. Sometimes you need to move in the opposite direction. And sometimes you just need to move over a little bit to make yourself a little more marketable. Doing your job, you could have had your job for 10, 15 years. And unfortunately, I've worked in HR for about that long, where I had to go through a conversation where I'm having to lay people off, having to deal with severance and mergers. And, you know, everything's great until it's not. And I've been on both ends of that.
Yeah.
And so the thing you need to figure out really is, how can you incorporate newer technologies, newer methodologies into what you're doing to make you more marketable? And sometimes people kind of get that comfort and they don't realize that comfort is what's keeping you where you are. You may not have promotional opportunities where you are, but you're used to your job. You know it well, you know it like the back of your hand, and you're waiting on one person to leave so you can have an opportunity when you could have doubled your money and just by taking an interview. And I've been in that situation. And so sometimes it's going to take leaps and bounds. Dak knows someone as well, who's a lady who was an artist. She literally drew, and she learned how to use AI and started building out architecture in the metaverse. Right. Mm-hmm. And so she started getting organizations to pay for it. She started getting invited out to a different platform so that she could showcase that talent, because there was some space for her to do that. And she went from this very physical art to much more digital art space. And now she's an architect creating these opportunities. And, you know, doors can open up into whatever you're doing. You just have to figure out how you can get out of your routine and start getting into a space where it's going to allow you to grow more. And it's a lot of opportunities like that online. And in person, depending on what city you're in.
That's good.
Yeah, I agree. Only thing I would add, because you just made me think about something, is if you get to a point where you're not intellectually curious, then you're stuck.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if you're stuck, then it's time, whether you talk to somebody like myself, Mark, Unique, or anyone you know, it's time to move out your way.
Yes. And I think it's a good point to add too, that IT is ever changing. And so if you're looking to get into the IT field and not willing to continuously evolve and take certifications and do what is necessary to keep up with trends, then you may want to second guess going into the IT field, because I am in networking. And as a network specialist, it's important for me to constantly do my CCNA, my Network Plus, all the necessary IT certification, because they expire. And if they expire, then you need to relicense. So just bear those things in mind when deciding to do IT. So Mark, you mentioned that you are involved in HR systems and IT. How do you think that HR systems work together with IT to improve the recruitment process and talent management process?
Well, so HR is in, so HR is this very vast thing. Specifically with recruitment, there's a lot of people who apply for jobs, and people used to fill out paper applications. That doesn't happen now. Mm-hmm. You have thousands of people that may apply for one job, and there's absolutely no way that one person can do that with efficiency. So now you have resume parsing. So just like you can upload your resume, it takes the information off your resume to fill out your application. We have it on the back end where it takes your resume and it looks for keywords. So one of the things I do with career coaching is help individuals utilize keyword optimization within their resumes. Another thing I do personally, and I encourage people to do, is use ChatGPT or one of those AI services to make your resumes much more efficient. You can ask it questions and you can build on your questions over time. But I use it on both ends. I use it when I'm applying for jobs, but I also use it as the professional so that I can figure out things that I don't necessarily have direct experience with. I've used it in an actual interview where they ask me a question, and as they're talking, I'm typing the same question that they're asking. And I'll say, how do I incorporate this into that? I've been given assignments for interviews that I have to take home with Excel, and I drop the form in there, and it'll help me write formulas and advanced code, advanced formulas in Excel. It's a many ways that AI, that technology in general, is used. The system itself also helps with the metrics that we use for the recruiting, but also human resources, right? So when people leave the organization, there's a number attached to how many people leave versus how many people come. I work in compensation specifically right now. So when we hire a group of people to do one job, we want to look at what you're getting paid in your role, what somebody in DC is getting paid in their role, what someone else is. And we also use how many years of experience you have. So we do a lot of different analysis on the data when somebody's working there, when somebody wants to work there. We do things to try to attract people using technology as well. So sometimes it's just the way that things look. Having an old system or an old website that's not user-friendly or that's hard to find the actual jobs that we're trying to market makes it difficult for people. So it may be something that's as small as how many clicks does it take to actually apply for a job? So it's many ways that we use technology on in every aspect of human resources. So,
So Mark just basically gave us interview hacks, guys.
I would say if you, not only can you use ChatGPT to create an amazing resume, and what you can do just very simply is put your resume into ChatGPT, copy a job description of a job you want, and say, tailor my experience to this job so that I can ace this interview. After you do that, after you have a bomb resume, you can also go back in, copy that job description, and then you can say, what questions would they ask?
Wow.
What are 5, 6, 10 questions that they would ask to help me prepare for this interview? And then you go back in and tell ChatGPT to answer those questions based off the amazing resume that it just made for you. That's the very simple version of it, but that's a way that you can use AI automation. The same thing that's scaring a lot of people away, it'll also help you kind of make this process a little less scary and much more efficient and get the most money that you can out of this.
Wow. That, Kim, is that what you're doing over there as well?
Mm-hmm. I love chat. I love ChatGPT, you know, and coming from the data side, you know, it's basically all machine learning. So it's constantly, to Mark's point, it's constantly evolving. You know, I find a lot of people tend to be nervous because they don't understand it. But once you dive into it and, you know, get the hang of things, Mark gave some excellent tips. Mm-hmm. The only thing I would add, you know, especially someone for myself, is I personalize ChatGPT so it speaks the way I speak. Because you can actually do that. So my dialect from New York and someone's dialect from the South may be a little different.
Yeah.
So there's certain words I'm not going to say that ChatGPT is going to say.
True.
I'm not going to say, hey, buddy. Well, you know, when I was completing this course, I'm going to be like, yeah.
So that's good. That's a good point. So you basically train it to use your kind of basically
your language. Exactly. Okay. Exactly. Your writing. You train it. You basically set it up so that it recognizes your writing style. So when you do the things that Mark just mentioned, and it'll basically produce it in a format that's more of your writing style.
Okay.
And this, and it, the thing that it does, it kind of helps you as far as if you do get an interview, being able to speak in your language.
Okay.
You know, instead of fumbling, because, you know, everybody's not as smart as Mark.
Yeah.
And they can do it on the fly. You know what I'm saying? So it kind of gives you that opportunity to speak, you know what I'm saying, in your language, and it'll sound more, what's the word I'm looking for? It'll sound more believable, I guess I could say. And you'll sound like you really know what you're talking about versus you're just reading, you know, some prompts.
So that takes me to the next question then. Do you think in the next 5 to 10 years, considering the way technology is evolving, that we're going to have a bunch of, for lack of a better word, dumb people in the workforce?
I think it's the opposite. I think we'll have smarter people in the workforce, which also means that when people talk about eliminating jobs often, what it's going to do, it means that you're going to have a new skill to do this job. And so I think that it'll have to be people that are more tech forward to do even some of the simpler jobs, right? So, like, we're talking about ChatGPT right now. Mm-hmm. There are literally jobs that are prompt engineers. So the way that Dak is talking about, like, I might say, Dak, how do I teach ChatGPT to speak in my voice? The same way Dak would talk me through that process is the same way I would talk to ChatGPT and say, okay, use those prompts to create the result I want. Or the same way I would tell you how to create your resume is the same way I would walk it through ChatGPT and teach you the prompts on how to get that. So that happens in your personal life. There's going to be so many more people to get those results through new jobs that are created. So I think that there's going to be an advanced level of our workforce that is being created. But you have to lean into technology to a great extent. So just like many moons ago, you could do whatever you want and never touch a computer.
True.
We're going to eliminate a lot of those jobs the more and more we start including technology. And so it's really just a larger expansion of like a technological revolution that you have to at some point be on board. So just like we're moving, even something simple, like a lot of companies not taking cash anymore.
True.
That shows how they're leaning forward into this. And you can't say, well, I'm only going places where my money is accepted, because you're going to start limiting yourself over time. You have to start leaning into it, even if it's little by little.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree with you. I have a question for you, Mark. Because I'm sure this is going to come up. We need to get together and three of us do a ChatGPT class as well.
Oh, that'd be great.
I got an idea on it as well. But this question I've heard this question before. Because, you know, we have 3.0, we have, I think, 3.5, we have ChatGPT 4.0. And we're just talking ChatGPT. We're not even talking the other softwares, the other AI tools that are out there.
A lot.
Would you suggest someone paying for the premium or professional version of these AI tools, or just use what's free?
I would say, take inventory of why you need it.
Yeah.
If you're just trying to get acclimated to it initially, it's free. Don't pay for it. Get an understanding of the system, get an understanding of it, because they're going to limit how much you can use it. But if you're not using it for normal business purposes, then you don't need the most advanced version of it. If you just need to get from point A to point B, do that. But as you, I use it not only for my career coaching, but I use it for my professional my professional career. So if I'm wanting to tighten up processes, I need ChatGPT to be a little more advanced, and I don't need limitations on how many questions I could ask.
Yeah.
So those are the cases where you would need ChatGPT to be more advanced. If you're trying to build out significant code, you need that. If you want to be taught how to use code or be taught SQL, you're going to ask a lot of questions and need a lot of prompts. And you're going to need a greater capacity for it. So I would say if you're just trying to get your feet wet, use the free version. But if you're using it on the day-to-day, if you're trying to write a book extensively, if you're trying to learn something extensively or use it to change processes, like, invest in it. It's not even, at this point, it's not a expensive investment, whether you're using ChatGPT or Gemini or, you know, whatever Microsoft version is, but you have to, it's worth the spend if you're using it in that way.
I'll agree with that because I currently have the paid version. I just didn't want the limitation because I'm doing a lot of research these days. And so I wanted to be able to ask as many questions as I want, help get as much help as I need. I even use ChatGPT for my counseling. If I have a question and I need some advice and guidance, that's like my best friend right now. So I don't want no limitation on anything. And please, I'm not crazy. Trust me, if you want to talk to ChatGPT, it actually answers, it actually gives you good advice, and it also tells you, hey, I'm not a doctor. So you
saying you paid the deposit for that Tesla bot? You first in line. You got it on back order.
Listen, I watch iRobot and that other crazy movie with the doll. I don't want a robot in my house. I'm sorry. So,
all right. That's
I mean, it's nice. I ain't gonna lie. The concept of it, especially if I was one of them parents that need a babysitter, I would be like, "Hey, watch my son." But no, the concept of it is nice. It's scary though, for me at least. What do you think?
People, disclaimer: do not make ChatGPT your boyfriend or your girlfriend. Eh?
Too late. Some people already. Some people asking ChatGPT, "Am I pretty right now?"
Right. Listen, I asked ChatGPT about my outfit, and he's like, "You're looking vibrant," and I'm like, "If I ask a man how I look right now, he'll be like, 'You look good.' He's not even looking at me." So I'm just putting that out there. It serves its purpose. The only thing it's not able to do at this moment is give me a hug and whatever.
That's what the robot's for. That's your bot. So, what was the question, though? Sorry.
I don't even know where I'm at now. But so we're talking about AI, and we have discussed some of the benefits of using AI. Do you think there are any risks for the job market as it relates to AI?
In my opinion, there's still a lot of risk because it's still new, and basically what it's doing, it's constantly being fed data, and it's scrubbing data from a variety of sources. So what's also occurring is it's scrubbing bad data.
Yeah.
Because you know, it's scrubbing data from the internet. You know, that's why, you know, sometimes you'll receive a response and you can either, you know, regenerate the response and say, "Hey, this was a bad response." And depending on how many people say this was a bad response, then that response will kind of go out. But it's going to take, in my opinion, I'd be curious to hear yours, but it's going to take a few years to really scrub out the bad information that's out there.
Yeah, I agree. I think you got what's now, and then you got what's coming, right? And so I think right now it's almost like training somebody to do your job, right? Mm-hmm. So you can train somebody to do your job, but you need to make sure that you're also preparing yourself for your next job. So like Dak said, you are you're feeding all of yourself into this, mm-hmm. your tone, your cadence, your information, your personal information. All of this is being used because data is king right now.
Yeah.
And you're giving all of this data. So what you are doing is some of those jobs that you were able to do are going to, they're going to use modeling and ranking and, you know, they're going to use these things to create AI to flip burgers. I was looking at this investment, which was a pizza vending machine. I promise you it's not going to be the best pizza you've ever tasted. But we are becoming a much more convenient economy. So I'm not going to go to Domino's. I'm not going to go to Little Caesars. I'm going to get this pizza from this vending machine. And it's going to be suitable enough for me. These are things that is making the way that we live now that much quicker. And so you got to think about the now and then think about what's coming. So when I worked with Meta, one of the things that didn't catch on the way we thought was VR and this living in this augmented space. So what you see happening is that they're not giving it to us. We okay with the computers and phones. It's going to our kids now.
Yeah.
And so when they start putting, my son loves VR headsets. They're putting these things in schools. So kids are going to learn in very augmented spaces. And I think it's that right now, and it's going to turn to holograms eventually, but be able to interact real time, regardless of language, you're going to be able to make those connections across the board. And it may not be us. It may be the generation after us, our children, and we're not going to be able to wrap our mind around it if you don't start adapting to the technological changes right now. So there's pros, there are cons, and the cons, the haves and the have-nots are going to be very distinguishable if you don't attach yourself to some understanding of technology.
So do you think the fact that we are feeding our information, the way that we sound, sometimes the way that we look, the way that we type, everything about ourselves, do you think there would be any risk to us and our information being out there in the world? Do you think there will be a robot that shows up at my door that sounds like that Kim, that's knocking on my door, and I look outside and he probably looks like that Kim as well?
That's like starting a fire with twigs. They're not doing that anymore. Somebody's going to call you, and then they're going to sound like me. They're going to sound like back him. They're going to sound like your kids. They're going to say, hey, Mom, I'm in trouble. I need you to wire over this money. Not only that, every time you click allow on your phone, there's some access that you're giving to a piece of technology, which means that there's some vulnerability that you're giving up. So it may not be what you intended for, but if you don't log out of your computer, if you leave it open, if somebody can tap into one piece of your network, they can then come in, and don't let it be your phone. We live off of our phone, all of your contacts. If you got grandma in there, that's the easiest person to, mom and grandma, I'm going to hit them up first. And let them need to cash at me. They need to wire me $50,000, $25,000, $10,000, whatever I can get out of them. But these are all of the things that you're allowing yourself to be vulnerable to. If you go to Starbucks and you connect your laptop or your phone to their Wi-Fi, there's vulnerability right there. So, you know, everything we do, we're giving up a lot of privacy.
Yeah.
And it's going to be to the point where unless you live off the grid, you are subjecting yourself in some way, shape, or form to the way that things are or will be, and you can push against it as much as you want. But if you are living in a society that is progressing this way, then you're either going to forcibly or willingly make yourself subjected to these vulnerabilities.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And honestly, you can really do that today, because I've built videos just purely off of AI.
Mm-hmm.
And I changed the voice. You know, I have somewhere I use Denzel's voice, somewhere I use, you know, a woman's voice, a British woman's voice. And so it's here. It's just a matter of who knows how to use it. And, you know, unfortunately, right now, most of the people that know how to use it are scammers.
Sure.
So they tend to scam you. But I want to go back to one thing that you mentioned, because Mark brought up something when he mentioned his son.
Yeah.
When you were saying, do you think it's going to make us dumber or smarter?
Mm-hmm.
The children, the generation that are coming up now, they are extremely tech savvy at 3 or 4. So they're going to be the smart ones that change the world. You know,
that's a good
right
point.
Now, we're looking at someone that's going to, you know, create a new version of Google, create a new version of AI, and keep technology going. You know, us, the older generation, you know, I mean, we're going to pretty much, I don't want to say fade out, but we're going to kind of fall to the back, because, you know, we're going to find the tools that we find that help us be successful in life and be happy there, and just kind of, you know, navigate through life that way, where they're going to be the ones that are going to come in, question everything, you know, create new trends and create new ways to use technology.
That's a very good point, and I agree. My son is 5, and he already knows how to turn the TV on, use his tablet, search for anything that he wants, and he has been doing that since he was 2. So you are absolutely correct with that. But shifting gear a little bit, you, Mark, and I, we're not just in IT. We're also in business. And with technology and the direction that it's going, what are some exciting things that entrepreneurs can look for when starting their business? Because we gave tips to people in career and looking for tools that they can use. But what are some of the tools that entrepreneurs can use today to scale their business?
I would say that there's very specific things that you could do. Everything from starting your business, you can learn how to do that or do that through some form of technology. Marketing, you can build out whole marketing campaigns. You can automate how you're marketing your business. Mm-hmm. You can write scripts. If you are an actor, if you want to write a book, you can do all of these things through technology.
Yeah.
So whether you have, no matter the idea you have, if you're stuck and you want to brainstorm with something, if you want to build this out and you don't know how to go from there, there's tools for all of this that can help you. If you want your book, if you have your book ready and you want an audio version of it, you can have that already built out, and it doesn't sound as clunky as it used to sound. It doesn't sound like a robot. It can sound like you can have it use your voice to narrate a whole book or an entire book. Or one of the things that I'm doing with my son is we create comic books through AI.
Wow.
And so we'll build out our character. We're actually doing it chapter by chapter right now, but we'll build out our characters, and we're literally going through, okay, and I'm asking him, what's next? He's the young one. He has all of the creativity still. So if he wants headphones to blow up in the atmosphere and then appear in your pocket, that, like, whatever he wants, we can do, and the idea will become full words that will then become a chapter that will also be the cartoons or the automation that we want. And it's whatever our idea about it is.
Yeah.
I can change. I can put hair on my head. I can have two different I can have two different color eyes. I can literally do what I want. And for people who have businesses at this point, again, there's hurdles right now. There's still things that aren't fully built out, but as many ideas as you have about your business or what you want or how you want to grow it, AI at this point can be a part of your consultant team. It can be a part of your data team. You can ask it how to improve your processes or what's missing, why is your business not performing the way you want it to? And it can give you a full diagnosis of it, not on the free version. They're free version. With a lot of errors.
Free version is going to be like, player.
Use black ink. That's what I'm going to tell you. But I think the options for opportunity are there in abundance if you are an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
And, I like that.
And I agree. The barrier to entry is really low now. Extremely low, because, you know, you have a lot of technology. So there's not much, and I use this loosely, you shouldn't spend that much paying for consultation fees. You know, someone comes with a, you know, my $999 cost to teach you this, teach you that. You no longer have to do that unless you just feel like giving away free money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not saying that some courses are not great, but the barrier to entry is a lot lower and you shouldn't be paying extraordinary prices like that. The exciting thing is, you know, once again, if you're intellectually curious, you're curious about your particular field, using different AI tools will help set you on the right path.
Yeah.
And help prevent you from going down those rabbit holes. Because you know how sometimes you'll go down a rabbit hole if you click, and we'll just use Google. If you click on Google and you just start clicking links, and, you know, before long, you know, it's 3 days later and you're still clicking links. You know what I'm saying? So find certain AI tools, ChatGPT, Gemini, some of the other tools as well, will help kind of keep you structured and set a good path for you. You know, additionally, the exciting things are, if you know that you're weak in certain areas, you can utilize technology now to help you in those areas where in the past you either struggled through it, you know, similar to what Mark was saying, you know, marketing campaigns. You know, if you don't know marketing, you either struggled through it or you paid someone a ridiculous amount of money to do certain pieces for you that now you're able to do for yourself. Or if you decided to pay someone, you at least have an understanding of how to do it. And being that technology has improved things so much, they should be able to help you for a few months and say, hey, you know what? I can turn this over to you now, unless you're just trying to build a team and utilize them in that particular space. One of my friends, she actually, and I don't remember the tool off the top of my head, but she actually used an AI tool to help her write an entire movie.
Wow.
Yeah. You know what I mean? And movies in, you know, it's a local movie on the indie side, but it basically built out all the characters, built out everything for her. She just pretty much said, you know, this is what I want to do, fed it certain scenes and, you know, characters, and created an entire movie.
Yes, that's good. I'll also add that there's so many tools out there that you can use to start your business. The way that social media is working these days, you don't even need a website anymore, because Instagram, Facebook, they're creating so many different ways for you to actually sell your products on the website, for you to book clients, for you to automate so many things that you do. Messages are being responded just by a word in a comment on Instagram. You're getting leads that way. So there are so many ways that you can get clients these days without even creating a website. That's one. Two, the Canva tool. I think the Canva tool is a big tool today that a lot of people are using to create their logos, their business cards, their flyers, their marketing campaigns, their stories. I use it a lot, especially with my podcast. I use it to create stories. I use it to create my reels, and so many more tools that you can actually use out there. Do you guys use any tool that you think may be worth mentioning?
I've used one for writing, and I think it's called LightScript. I've used another for the actual character drawing, and I don't remember what that is. We went through quite a few. Outside of that, I'm very much with OpenAI for what I use for business.
Okay.
Yeah. Anytime I need to check my verbiage on something, anytime I need to check my tone. So anything where I'm developing up my business, that's what I use.
Nice. And Akim, do you use any tool that is worth mentioning?
I can't remember.
Okay.
Outside of the basics, I use Adobe AI.
Okay.
Canva. I use ChatGPT, and there's a few video creation and video editing tools that I use that are specifically for AI.
Okay.
Where you just basically, like for an example, I said, give me a picture and create a story with background, with a video, And I just basically wrote that into the prompts, and it created NVIDIA. That's it, NVIDIA.
Oh, yes. I've used NVIDIA. That's a very good one. I've used that.
Yeah.
But guys, remember, a lot of these, if you want quality, if you want the logos removed, a lot of them are paid services. So there's always the free version. But if you want value for your money, you got to pay. And video is one of those that you have to pay for if you want the logo removed.
Mm-hmm.
So a few weeks ago, we did an episode on work-life balance. And with technology today, particularly AI and automation, do you think that it will help people find better work-life balance? Or is it going to be more difficult?
I would say that it's going to be difficult because, like we talked about previously, you're going to have new jobs that come in. And so some of those people who can't retool, who can't adjust, they will likely, they honestly will be left behind if they can't squeeze all the juice out of the jobs that they have currently. And so they'll have a lot of time for life, may not have as much time for work. And I think at some point in the future, the government will supplement that, but I don't think it'll be like a livable wage for most people. But I also think that if you, at this point right now, if you start integrating technology into your business or the way you do work right now, you'll start seeing more efficiency. Whether you're working in the office or if you're working at home, you'll start seeing yourself be more efficient. You'll start seeing your processes be tuned up and tightened up more. You'll start seeing your deadlines be met quicker. And then after that, you can start operating with more strategy. You can start learning more, and you'll have a lot more time to yourself. You'll see a lot. The more you learn, the more opportunities for work remote there are. So it'll allow you that time to be at home if you want to be at home or work hybrid jobs, which are things that you can't do if you don't have some sense of like technological aptitude. So,
so what you're saying is, basically, if a person is not so technology savvy and the job that they have is moving more towards AI, that they may find themselves having to work multiple jobs to make up for the money that they used to make.
They'll have to find a lot of different avenues. And there are a lot of avenues, but, you know, things are still going to be created, right? So you used to have taxi drivers. Now, generally, you're using Uber, Lyft.
Yeah.
So that's going to be more things for people. You can use apps like you used to have to go through a moving company. Now you can go through apps to hire somebody for a day and you don't have to use an entire company. You can use individuals. So it's going to open things up in that regard. But, you know, it's seen as a way towards freedom, but it's all going to be controlled by an organization ultimately. So a lot of people got into like Airbnb. So people were able to kind of rent out rooms in their homes. But what you saw is they got the gotcha rate. You got in, you were able to keep a good amount of money for yourself. Now they start adding fees.
Yeah.
They start taxing you on both ends. So whether you want to rent room or rent your rooms out, you're getting taxed so significantly that if you're not somebody who, if you can try those methods, and there's always going to be new ones created, but you have to start being able to use technology, even at the lowest end, to try to create some leverage for yourself and some relevance.
Dakin, do you think it's going to be more difficult, or it's going to make work life more balanced?
You know, you caught me when I was swallowing my cookie. No, actually, I think it's not going to make a difference at all, honestly.
Okay.
And the reason I say that, because work-life balance, in my opinion, is a mindset.
Mm.
Knowing how to structure your day. You know what I'm saying? If you're not an organized person today, and you don't know how to turn things off at some point, and you know, being a parent, working a job, being a business owner, that's a whole lot to juggle. And you can add, depending on your industry, you can add AI into it to help. But AI can't help you if you're just a procrastinator. AI can't help you if you're just an overworker. You know what I'm saying? And if we add in things such as, you know, rental rates, home prices and stuff like that, to where now people almost have to work two jobs and have a hustle, or work one job and have a hustle, depending on what you're doing. If you're not creating a sustainable business that's going to make you money while you sleep, mm-hmm. then there's always going to be that work-life balance challenge. You know, and you have to at some point be able to say, okay, you know what? Once I've done my 8 hours here and I do whatever it is for my business, my 2 hours, that's it.
Yeah.
But again, it's still a juggling act that I think until, you know, people are able to get into a certain mindset and build businesses that will create that sustainable income without you having to constantly be present,
yeah,
then that's going to be the game changer.
Yeah, I like that. And I'll agree with that piece as well, because I think it's a mindset indeed. And when we tackled the topic a few weeks ago, we focused a lot on work-life integration versus work-life balance. And I think it's going to be more of an integration with technology than a balance. You now have the option to speak to AI, to come home and finish your job. So it may not be that much of a balance, but it will be integrated, and you can structure and time manage a little bit more, set family time aside and focus on that. So that's good. So we've touched a lot of different things. AI is a big bucket in itself that probably need another episode all for itself to continue to talk about that. But we do see where AI can help with your career, with your businesses, with your life. And it's important to not be closed-minded to it, be open to change, be willing to accept the direction that the world is changing to. Back then, I think today we were at work and we were looking at when Google first came out, when the internet first came about. There are so many things that we never used to do 20 years ago that we're doing today. So if we want to continue to move with the trends and the change of technology, we have to be open-minded. Anything you want to add to that, or any advice that you want to give to the young generation that are looking to get into technology? Anything else that you want to add before we go into our rapid fire questions?
I would say do it. I would say look into it, go search it, and then jump in, but then also find somebody to mentor you. If you don't know exactly what you want to do, if you don't, get in the spaces, go to a tech conference, go to a meetup, get in Facebook groups, join something on LinkedIn, Reddit, be in those spaces where those people are, who can give you guidance, who can give you information. People are always wanting to figure out how they can help out. And sometimes we get so consumed with our life that we don't do our best to even seek out people to mentor. But find you a mentor, find someone who can give you guidance on how to start, where to go from there, how to plan out your career. And if you are in a tech role, figure out what's next, because these are going to happen very quickly. And you want to know how you can start setting yourself up for the next 5, 10, 15 years. And that may mean you stepping into very different roles or having very different skills than you have now.
Yes.
And I'll add, you know, because I don't know all of them, Gen X, Gen A, B, C, is too many gens. Mm-hmm. I don't even know what gen I am now, you know, from this generation.
Yes.
But, you know, for the older generation, I'd say, and we're going to go 40 and over for the older generation, just to be nice to some people. Don't be afraid to link up with younger people.
Mm.
Because they're doing a lot of it today. And instead of, you know, hey, they get on my nerves and, you know what I'm saying, I don't like them today, figure out a way to build that, bridge that gap, and connect with them, One thing I know for sure from being in the tech industry as long as I have, people that truly love it, not trying to scam you, not trying to, you know, sell my $9.99 book to you and my course that's not that I could have grabbed off the internet. People that are really into it and love it, they enjoy working with somebody else to showcase their skills and show what they've solved and show you how they solved it.
Yeah.
They love that. That's you know, that's been a passion that I've learned over throughout my years. Now, people that are not too uncomfortable about with their skills and being able to distinguish between the two will help you going forward, whether you're young, whether you're old, but that'll help you being able to distinguish between the two.
I like that. And what I will add is create a LinkedIn presence. Mark mentioned LinkedIn and it dawned on me. A lot of us aren't using LinkedIn, but the way that technology is working, Mark mentioned it earlier as well, where they're using resume parsing and stuff like that. What I do know is that a lot of my coworkers were recruited from LinkedIn. They have their profile. There are people going around just looking for people who match their job description, and they're sending out messages to these people via LinkedIn. So create a LinkedIn presence. A lot of the jobs are also being posted on LinkedIn. You can apply directly by sending your LinkedIn profile as opposed to sending a resume. So bear that in mind as well. But go on LinkedIn, go on other companies' portal as well, look at some of the job description, look at the things that they're looking for. And then based on the job description, let's say, for example, you want to become a business analyst or an IT analyst, look at what the job description is asking for, and then try to find those certification courses that you need to do in order to be qualified, especially if you're brand new and just getting into IT. You want to know what the companies are looking for within those roles. So thank you so much, guys. I like to end my podcast with rapid fire questions. I'll ask you questions and you just give me an answer. Are you ready for that?
Yeah. You sure you want to ask me rapid fire? All right.
Rapid fire. All right. So the first one, we talk a little bit about this. Do you think AI is an opportunity or a threat?
Opportunity.
Threat.
I mean, it's rapid fire, but I wonder if I want
to. Nope, rapid fire. I ain't answering. Nope. Can't make me. Nope.
All right.
No, I'm messing with you. Go ahead.
Why do you think it's a threat?
Because it's still in its infancy stages.
Okay.
And a lot of the information in there hasn't been really vetted out. There's good information, but once again, you have people who do not read and do not comprehend. So they will, and I'm sure Mark has seen this, they will run their resume through AI, and you can clearly look at the resume and tell it's AI. So you're going to have a lot of people, the reason I say it's a threat, you're going to have a lot of people who trying to sound intelligent, but they just sound like a computer.
Yeah. Okay. All right. That's a good point. Work from home or remote work or in the office?
Remote.
I know Mark would say remote.
Remote.
Yeah. Awesome. All right. And I'm definitely going to go with hybrid. I don't mind going in the office. And I also like the days when I get to work from home.
Why do you want to go in the office?
Because we still have to maintain culture and talk to people and interact with people. I don't want to just be at home by myself and not have anybody to talk to.
You talk to AI.
Send a Teams chat. You better get on Zoom.
Right. Talk to ChatGPT.
Yeah, just start a group chat with your family or something.
Okay. What's your favorite app that you use daily?
I would say Facebook.
Okay.
So when I travel, it was one of the apps that I use all the time to connect with expats. Mm-hmm. So people who are not from the country, but they live there. So it'll create a more local experience for me when I travel. So between that and connecting community, things like that. So that's an extension of community based.
Yeah.
That I prefer.
Is this rapid fire or rapid explanation?
Listen, we got away from it. That's not even, is that a rapid question?
It wasn't
either,
rapid.
Either or.
No, it's not.
No. You know I got messaged you, man. But no, that was good. Mine's just TikTok.
You like TikTok. What do you be doing on TikTok, that Cam?
The dances. He got a page called That Be Dancing.
Right, I need to go find him. So
No, I don't do nothing. I just like to scroll.
I think for me, it's a good split, and it sounds bad, but it's a good split for me between Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok. They all serve different purposes. TikTok is where I go for all things entertainment, Instagram for all things news, and Facebook just to connect with friends and family and see what everybody's up to. All right.
That's interesting because I get a lot of my news off of TikTok. When I go to Instagram, I don't know what my settings are, but all I see is, yeah.
You know why? Because of the people you follow, Dakin.
I don't follow nobody. I go on Instagram like I follow my wife, all right?
No, the last time I heard, she blocked you. Okay. What's one piece of advice for someone starting a tech career today? One piece.
Get a mentor. Really look at your skills and how they will transfer into a tech role. Because that's how you'll ultimately make your money.
Okay. And I'll add just getting a career coach. I think sometimes we know what we want, but we don't know where to start, put it that way. A career coach can help with that. And if you do need one, I'm here to assist you to find your purpose. So you can reach out to me. Awesome, guys.
This I will use that voice. You can reach out to me.
Reach out to me. Reach out to me, guys. Don't pay that him any mind. So that brings us to the end of today's episode of The Blueprint. We've explored how technology, AI, and automation are shaping the future for work and business, and how you can harness these tools to build and scale your career or entrepreneurial ventures. A big thank you to Dak Kim and Mark for sharing their insights and expertise. Remember, staying informed and adaptable is key to thriving in this tech-driven world. If you enjoyed today's conversation, be sure to subscribe, leave a comment, and share with others who want you to stay ahead of the curve. Until next time, keep building your blueprint to success. Thank you. Bye.
Wake up to a dawn that whispers hope. Chasing dreams with heart and scope. Unique, it guides us through the strife. Building blocks of a better life. Money flows like rivers, why? Budget smart, keep your pride. Entrepreneurial spirit high. Reach for stars, touch.